Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go, and here I am. You know what's strange about this new intro that we have? Before, I used to be able to time when the show was going to start, because I would just let the music play until I did not want the music to play anymore. And now, I can't do that, because when Ted, Golden Voice there, announces my name, I've got to go. I've got to be ready to go. Now, granted, it is at the end of the song, or the music, or whatever that little thing is that plays, but it's still a little strange to have to be ready like that so quickly. It's a little different. So, you know, we'll see how long that lasts, because you like to have control over what's going on every morning. But other than that, we're going to get rolling here this morning with the big show. See, I'm already complaining right off the bat. Is this a good thing? Here's where it started this morning. I'm going to tell you about my morning so far. Not that I've had a bad morning. It's been fairly okay. But this is why I think I'm in a bit of a complaining mood this morning. Well, first of all, it's April in Ohio, which also feels like December in Ohio, and really not even like December, because we didn't have weather like this in December this year. So, I get up this morning, and it's very sunny, and it's very beautiful, and the sky is very nice, and the sun is shining in, and all those things that we all like, and yet, it's cold. I'm wrapped up under the blanket, it's a little chilly in the house, it's certainly a lot chillier than it's been in recent times. So that's number one. And the fact, you know, I had to put a coat on, which I did yesterday, but I didn't complain about it yesterday. But today, I'm complaining. I think it's all driven by the fact that that intro played, and I was not ready. I was doing other things. But that's where the morning started. A little chillier than it has been. And, you know, I don't know. That just kind of slows your morning down for some reason. In any event, did I say the date? I don't even think I've said the date yet. I'm way off this morning. It's a Thursday, April the 16th, 2020, 4/16/2020. 18 coming up on 19 minutes past the hour. And I'm going to tell you something. We have got a unique program today. You're not going to want to miss this thing for love nor money, because there's really no plan this morning. Except we will have Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner, joining us at 8:45 this morning, because we do have an update when it comes to the COVID-19 coronavirus. Did that come out right? Coronavirus? You know, I'm never sure if I should say COVID-19 or COVID. Everybody's saying COVID now. So I think I should probably get with the in-group and start saying COVID. But we're going to have an update with Tracy Kinsler coming up on, let's see here, coming up on, or 8:45 this morning. That's what we're going to do, if I can ever get this program on track. Now, let's see what else we've got to talk about this morning. Now that I've complained, I feel like we need to get into the show. Oh, this is something I wanted to talk about that I did not get a chance to talk about yesterday, but it happened yesterday. So this is kind of cool. Let's see here. Oh, we had some callers yesterday. This was good. We had some callers yesterday morning, right before I went off the air, for really about the last hour of the program, who were kind of talking about this whole coronavirus thing and are people paying attention? Should we open back up the economy? you know, those sort of questions. Do the kids pay attention to what's going on? Are they taking care of the older people? Are essential businesses, are businesses that are not essential still open? You know, it was just an interesting conversation. And the best I can come up with this, the best answer I can come up with at this particular point is that I hope that non-essential businesses are not open. But I really don't know if there's a lot of policing being done in that particular area. I guess we'll find out as time goes on. But you don't really know. You don't really know. And I do hope that people are taking the proper measures that they need to take when going outside and doing what they need to do, because we don't want anybody else getting sick. So this is an important thing as well. So it's all where we are right now. We've not went through this before, and we just kind of have to deal with it. Now, if anybody has any questions or comments this morning, please feel free, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, because we can have open phone lines this morning, because it's just me and you, other than the 15 minutes we're going to spend with Tracy Kinsler coming up here at 845. So if there's anything on your mind, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Now, what else did I want to talk about? We talked about the calls yesterday. Oh, do you want to talk about the big show? Friday's show is getting closer and closer. It's tomorrow. Can you believe tomorrow is Friday? It's right around the corner. And the Friday Night Live show, which airs live here every Friday night on WWGH Radio, 8:10 to 10 p.m., will be on tomorrow night. Now, this will be a show you cannot miss. Cannot miss this show. Call your neighbors, call your friends, call your relatives, call the people you like, call the people you don't like, and tell them that tomorrow, 8:10 to 10 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio, that this is a time that you will want to be glued to your radio, because what is going on tomorrow night, you ask me? Scott, what's going on tomorrow night? Well, I'll tell you. Here's what's going on tomorrow night during the Friday Night Live studio. Do I seem a little off today before I get to this, by the way? I'll tell you why I'm a little off this morning. It's not getting up in the cold, and it's not because my intro was playing and I wasn't ready for it. It's because Glenn has sprayed this studio with so much Lysol and used so many of those bleach cloth things that that's what it smells like in here. It's overwhelming, the Lysol fumes that I'm ingesting and the bleach tablets, or the bleach tablets, the bleach wet, is it wet wipes? That's what I'm going to call them. No matter what it is, that's what I'm going to call them. The bleach wet wipes are all over this studio. So the smell is totally engulfing me at this point. I don't even really know if I'm conscious right now, because of that awful, awful smell. Has anybody else noticed this going on, that somebody will come around and spray Lysol all over the place and use these bleach wipes to wipe everything down, and then you come in and it smells like, I don't know, it smells like somebody, it smells like what it must have smelled like after a dishwasher explodes in your house, or maybe the washing machine overloads and soap bubbles go everywhere. That's what it smells like in here right now. And it's driving me insane. I cannot even think straight this morning because of that smell. Whew. Now I'm really complaining. All right, I'm going to move on. Friday night, tomorrow, is, let's see here, Friday Night Live. I got to write this stuff down. 8:10 to 10 p.m. Now, here's why you got to listen to this show tomorrow night. We're going to have our new co-host. We had a co-host for a while, Bailey, and Bailey called in Monday. And I don't know, to be honest with you, when Bailey called in Monday, if that was a happy or an angry call. Now, I'm pretty perceptive when it comes to people calling in, and I'm going to guess that that call on Monday was kind of angry. But I think she's still out there listening. So I'm going to say it was a happy call because I really don't want to upset anybody. So if you're out there listening, Bailey, Monday was a happy call. But in reality, if you put me on the polygraph, I'm going to say it was an angry call. So Monday, we had that. So Bailey was the first co-host of the Friday Night Live show. And, Bales was great. We had a great time. But that came to an end. And then we started having guest hosts on the program. And as I have said before, some were good and some were not. Now, I'm not going to tell you who was good and who was not. Well, maybe I will one day. But some hosts were good and some hosts were not. Let's just leave it at that. Guest co-host. Well, coming up tomorrow, we are going to put the new co-host in place. And I'm telling you this. This is what I'll tell you about this person. They're blonde, and you know who they are. You've heard them before. That's the new co-host. They're blonde, and you've heard them before. And that will be who will be sitting with me here on Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. and every Friday night until sign-off. Now, those are rough clues, I know. Those are not the easiest clues in the world to go off of. But that's all I'm going to give you. So think about that. That's who will be with me tomorrow night. And I'll tell you, it's really going to give that show a pickup, I think. I think now that Friday Night Live show, which has gained a lot of momentum in recent times, is going to be a real strong show. Because this new co-host, I think they know what's going on. I think we've made the exact right choice with this new co-host. So tune in tomorrow night, 8 to 10 p.m., to find out who it is, because you're not going to know until I turn on the microphones who that new person is. All you need to know is they're blonde, and it's somebody you know from the past. So tomorrow night, Friday Night Live. Now, let's see what else do we have here this morning that we can talk about. Oh, you know, Gary Burbank being on yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about this because Gary was interesting yesterday. If you heard that interview between 8 and 9, he talked about a lot of serious things. And usually Gary is very comedic. The voice of Earl Pitts, the creator of Earl Pitts, and the sometimes writer of Earl Pitts. So Gary is seen a lot of times more in a comedic role. And it's interesting when he came on yesterday that we were able to have a very serious conversation as it related to COVID-19 and also how radio and broadcasting has changed since he was heavily involved in it. And I thought that was a very strong conversation. And I hope you enjoyed it. If anybody has any comments on the Gary Burbank conversation, give me a call. I'm here this morning. I'm here to talk. 740-383-9944. Because what I found interesting about it was his take on the broadcast industry today, how maybe some of these people who get on every day and give their opinions when it's constantly political, maybe don't believe what they say, that maybe it's just a show. Do you think there's a possibility of that? I can see that because really what most people are looking for are a lot of people listening. You want to have a lot of people listen. You want to have a big audience. You want that audience to expand. And if it was working for you and you were getting a lot of listeners because of it, well, maybe you would keep doing it, even if you didn't believe it. I have a problem. I could never do that. Because to be honest with you, one of the problems is that really when I turn on this microphone, I get a little too honest. Because I want to be honest with you, the listening audience. And I really don't plan what I'm going to say. So really, you're getting it firsthand. So it's kind of hard to sit here and have an agenda every morning. Because right now, I didn't even know I was going to have this conversation. So I would not be somebody who would be able to come in and have an agenda every morning and stick to that particular thing. But you never know. Some people might. So there you go. But I'll tell you, tomorrow night on the Friday Night Show, 8 to 10 p.m., Friday Night Live, that's going to be different. Now, there's no real agenda in that show either. That's mostly just a conversation between two people. But the person who I'll be having a conversation with tomorrow night really will be interesting. That blonde person that you know before. And you'll know who it is right off the bat, but that's going to be an interesting conversation tomorrow night, because I don't know that I've had a conversation with this person in that manner as a radio person in quite a while. So we'll see how that all shakes out tomorrow night here on this station, 8 to 10 p.m. Now, yesterday, here's something. Easter now is over, but, you know, we still have the remnants of Easter in a way. There's still a lot of stuff in the grocery stores and so on and so forth. And last night, I ran into somebody who I knew, and they had a bag of candy with them. Now, I'm not a big candy eater. I'm just, when I was a kid, you know, on Halloween and Easter and things like that, when you get a lot of candy, my bucket would sit around forever. I'm not a big candy eater. So when this person came toward me last night and they had a candy in their bag, my normal reaction when they offered me some, because they did, was to say no. And the person said, no, you have got to try this. And I said, well, what do you got? And what it was a lemon-flavored Kit Kat. Now, I don't know if this is just an Easter thing, or if this is an all-the-time thing. All of a sudden, the Kit Kat company has decided they're going to do all kinds of different flavors. Because last night, I saw the lemon ones, and I have seen the mint ones that are now in the stores, which I think are interesting. Have you heard what the slogan is for the mint Kit Kat? It's a real interesting slogan. Mint to be together. Now, isn't that a slogan that you can get behind? Mint to be together. M-I-N-T. So there's that. So the person I'm with last night wants me to try one of these lemon-flavored Kit Kats. Now, when you hear that on the surface, you think, this does not sound good at all. A lemon-flavored Kit Kat? Because we all know what Kit Kats are. That's chocolate. That's not lemon. And to put a lemon on top of chocolate does not sound like the best thing in the world. So, this person said, oh, you know, it's the best thing in the world, and it doesn't sound very good, but you've got to try it. So, I take one of the lemon-flavored Kit Kats. And the person stood right there, so I had to try it. You know, I couldn't 86 it. I couldn't, like, throw it in the garbage can or drop it in my pocket or something like that and get rid of it later on. So I thought, you know, oh, what the hey, let me give it a try here. So I open up the package and I eat the little lemon-flavored Kit Kat. And I'll tell you something, it was not bad. It actually was pretty good, which is strange because, as I say, I'm not a candy person, and you would not think lemon and Kit Kat would go together. But it had a unique taste, and I can't even tell you what the unique taste was. It reminded me of something. But it was good. So I don't know if that's an Easter thing. I don't know if they'll be around a long time. But I did learn yesterday that the lemon flavored Kit Kats are not a bad thing at all. Certainly did not smell or taste like this office today, which is Lysol Central right now. I don't know. You know, I understand people have to be cautious during this time. But to be honest with you, this Lysol stinks. Does anybody know, is there unscented Lysol? Or does it all have to smell like this? Let me know. 740-383-9944. And have you tried the lemon-flavored Kit Kats? Those are something. Those are something to really get involved with. There has to be a candy that I like. I'm trying to think of a candy that I like. I do, if I had to choose a candy bar that I would eat, it would be a Butterfinger. I like the Butterfingers the best. But I can't even eat a lot of those because I just, there's something about candy, I don't know what it is, that just does not go in my reaction. So, there you go. But this Lysol thing, you know, and I don't even really know, to be honest with you, if, I don't know how much he sprays. It's interesting. Here comes a phone call. Let's see what we got. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Scott.
Good morning.
If you like the lemon flavor, you should try Hostess's iced lemon cupcakes.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. They are so good.
Wow.
And again, it's a limited edition. But, yeah, I've kind of, like, eaten the whole box by myself.
Now, why do you think these lemon-flavored things are limited editions?
I don't know, unless they're just trying out flavors to see what sells and what doesn't.
Well, yeah, I can't figure it out, because the person I was with last night, when they gave me this, they kind of insinuated that it was just an Easter thing, and I can't figure out why lemon would be associated with Easter.
Well, it, like the yellow peeps.
Oh, I get
it. Kind of a pastel color, maybe.
Well, I do think the color yellow is kind of associated with Easter, but I didn't know that actual lemons were until recently.
Yeah, I can't tell you. Now, where did your friend find the lemon Kit Kat?
You know, I don't know. They just kind of had them with them. I'm not sure where they came from.
Okay. Because, see, I'll be on the look for those, too.
You know, I would imagine they're probably in most grocery stores, with,
okay,
probably with the Easter stuff.
All righty. I'll take a look.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Lemon-flavored Kit Kats and also lemon-flavored Hostess cupcakes. That's pretty good. Now, what else do we have here today that we can talk about? Remember, Tracy Kinsler coming up at a quarter till the hour to talk about everything going on here in Marion during this interesting time. Want to remind everybody to check out the podcast, because we're going to have some new podcasts coming up very soon. And you do not want to miss these things, because they are worth listening to. And the ones that are coming up shortly are going to be very fascinating. So pay attention to the podcasts that are on YouTube. Right now you can get them on YouTube, but very soon you'll be able to get them in other areas. Now, I have to tell you that this weather is very strange, because this time last week, was it Wednesday and Thursday last week, I think, is when we had the very warm weather. It was like summer. Well, it was like spring, at least. It was like spring had finally come. But apparently, you know, as it comes, it goes. I guess such is life. And here we are now. 28 degrees, I think, is what it was this morning when I was coming in. Which in the spring, we call that something in the spring. What do we call it? It's not frigid. We don't call it frigid. In the winter, when we have a 28-degree morning, we call it frigid. Crisp. That's what we call it. We say, boy, it is a crisp morning out there. Now, why that's associated with spring, lemons and crisp and all that, I don't know. I don't know why any of it's associated with spring, but it is for some reason. Okay. Oh, the girl downstairs, we had our wave this morning. Now, I'll tell you, it's interesting, because it's become such a personal wave now. Now, I have to stop and do it. Before, it was just one of those things where maybe I would wave if she happened to be looking in my direction. But now, before I get on the elevator, I have to stop and wait for the wave. Because now we've met in public. And I feel bad if I don't stay and wave. Which is not a big deal. Most mornings I have time to stand down there and wave. It's like being in a parade, to a certain extent. What will be joined by Tracy Kinsler here in about 5 minutes. Marion Public Health Commissioner. See, there are some things I want to talk about, but I don't think I have the time to talk about them. But I'll have all next hour, so that'll be a lot of fun. Is there anything out there on the market right now? We've talked about the lemon Hostess cupcakes, and we've talked about the lemon Kit Kats that are interesting to you. Anything you've had recently that was good that you would love to have more of, give me a call. 740-383-9944. You're tuned into WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't forget, after this program today, it'll be the Charlie Evers Show. Now, Charlie's out still recuperating, so I will be along with you for that this morning. And we'll have fun. We'll do some more Family Feud. I think we got through all the Family Feud categories yesterday. What did we have yesterday? If you weren't listening, here's what we went through yesterday. We had when you do not want to go to school, what is an illness that you make up as an excuse? Well, the five were stomach ache, headache, fever, ear pain, and cough. And we got all those yesterday. And the other one we got through yesterday was, why do you love summer? It was go to the beach, the weather, ice cream, go outside and play. All good things associated with the summer. And hopefully this summer we'll be able to have those things and have fun and do what we can do. We don't want to rush anything. We certainly do want to be safe. But I don't think there's going to be... I don't know. I can't predict the future on this COVID thing, but I'm going to guess summer will probably be a little different, but not hugely different. I think it'll... We'll see, obviously, some traces of this because we're getting pretty close now. We're past the midpoint here in April. So I think we'll see some changes to how we have to deal with summer, but I don't think there'll be huge changes. I think there'll just be things that we have to alter so that this thing does not spread again. I think that'll probably be how summer happens, but don't take my word for it. We'll just wait and see. We'll listen to the doctors. The doctors are who we want to listen to at this particular point. Now, it's been a pretty interesting week, I'll say that. We've had some very good guests on. Monday morning, we had Terry Tackett. And Tuesday, we had Tracy and Kreskin and the mayor. And yesterday, we had Gary. And we had a lot of callers yesterday who called in, who wanted to talk about what's going on. And I like hearing what you guys out there in the listening audience are thinking, because, you know, there are things on my mind, I'm sure there are things on your mind. And there are things on your mind that I'm sure are far more interesting than the things that are on my mind. I keep seeing construction continue on a lot of things here in Marion. The old cigar store down the road here, which I pass every morning, is continuing to be built, which apparently is going to be a healthy grocery store, health food grocery store, veggies and things like that. The Dunkin' Donuts continues to go up. And there is a sign out in front of Dunkin' Donuts now, or what will be Dunkin' Donuts, that says Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I thought the name had changed to Dunkin'. That's what people kept telling me. But there is a sign out in front that says future home or something like that of a Dunkin' Donuts. And of course, Panda Express is up and operating. That was on the tip of people's tongue for a long time. And, you know, they still seem to be doing well. Obviously, it's drive-through now during this COVID thing. But I passed by there the other night and they were wrapped around the building again. Kinda cool that things are going well. But a lot of these restaurants, you know, the fast food places seem to be doing a lot better than the restaurants are. Now, I don't know how the restaurants are doing. I hope they're doing okay. But the carryout business, I think if you have a drive-through window, it's making things a lot easier at this particular point for those businesses. Because McDonald's still seems to be busy. As I say, when I passed Panda Express the other night, it seemed to be busy. Wendy's and Burger King and places of that nature seem to be busy. I think if you don't have a drive-through window, it's probably more difficult to continue during this particular situation. But here comes a call. And as we continue on this morning here on Now on WWGH Radio, there are new developments all the time here in Marion. with the COVID-19 situation, and it's always a pleasure to check in with the Marion Public Health Commissioner, Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing well. Tracy, this has been an interesting week for Marion. Can you kind of give us, we'll start where we are right now number-wise in Marion County.
Well, yesterday we reported 164 cases, and I think that's going to see another jump, if I'm not mistaken, giving every inmate a TAT, MCI, my prison. They're testing them in big clumps. Our results expect to see another jump. That will do to early. So that's kind of where we are with our case. Try to switch it up. I'll do more of a weekly summary analysis. So here shortly.
So there is expected to be another big jump because of cases that we'll probably find in the prison?
Yes.
You know, they're
starting, they're kind of going through and people who sent them first, but they're going to end up testing everybody.
Nope, for some reason, we lost Tracy. I think the phone was going in and out. Tracy hopefully will give us a call back there, but that's interesting to know that the cases at the prison seem to be, well, it's going to cause a spike in the number here in Marion, and it's interesting what's going on out there at the MCI facility. Oh, here we go. Let's see what we have here. Tracy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I think we're kind of going in and out, then we lost you for some reason.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to reconfirm that now every person at MCI is being tested, and this is what will cause the jumps.
Yes.
Okay. We've heard a lot of stories this week about how people are worried who have family members out there. We've heard about, well, I think there was an article in the Star the other day where one of the prisoners was interviewed and they had said they were in dorms only 3 feet apart. How do you know how things are being adjusted so it doesn't continue to spread out there?
I know they're making adjustments every day as they figure things out and try to figure out the best way to contain the virus. So that's why they're doing the testing on every inmate. They're trying to separate. We know these people are positive. We know these people are negative. So how can we separate them out? So I think they have special dorms that are for people who are positive. So that's going to help with containing the virus. And I think they're trying their best at those other methods like we tell everybody to do, wearing masks, taking temperatures, monitoring, you know, things like that. But it will take a little while before they can get it under control. Remember that the symptoms, You can incubate, we call it, incubate the virus for up to 14 days. So somebody may then become contagious on their 13th or 14th day even, and then that keeps the clock ticking for the next person and the next person. So it takes a while to get it under control.
As far as the guards, who really would be the, and the people who work there, the personnel, the ones who are coming and going, the prisoners would not be coming and going at this point. Do you know what precautions are being made for them to not bring this into the public or catch it themselves at this point?
Well, I think that they are monitoring temperatures, monitoring for symptoms. I think they're screening everybody before they come in. And then I think the guards are wearing masks, things like that. Certainly, hand hygiene and all of that stuff is very important, too, no matter, you know, what the situation. But it had one of the things that has been sort of, I guess, a blessing, if you can call it that, in this situation, is that as the guards are being tested, and they're being tested in a priority group as well, so we get their results back pretty quickly, they've already been quarantining themselves. So if they feel symptomatic or whatever, they're doing a really good job of keeping themselves away from anybody else in the public. So that makes it a lot easier to trace and to know who they've been in contact with and to try to get a handle on, you know, the spread. So that has been one good thing that's come out of it. So when we talk to them, they've already been home for quite a while. So.
Tracy, when we talked last week, we talked about misconceptions and things that people were putting out on Facebook that were kind of misleading, and people think the health department is doing certain things that they're not doing. What does that still continue to be a problem?
Yeah, I think no matter what our message is, people, you know, can misconstrue it and think that we're not doing something we should be doing, or, you know, vice versa. So it's kind of something we just sort of battle. So just even a silly example is that during the Easter weekend, starting Good Friday through Sunday, we were closed that whole time, but our nursing staff worked very long hours every day, including Easter Sunday, doing their monitoring of patients and doing new cases were still coming in on those days. And so we were working that whole time. We just didn't have our main phone lines on so that our administrative staff didn't have to be there. But the COVID response team was working that entire time. So it goes from little things like that all the way up to why can't we release, you know, more information about people who have been confirmed cases, which we're not allowed to because it would be a HIPAA violation, and we want to respect people's privacy. So, and everything kind of in between there.
You know, Tracy, on that level and on that line, a lot of things just spread on Facebook because we live in the world of social media now. And one of the big stories yesterday, because we haven't had a death in Marion confirmed, mm-hmm. was that as of yesterday, we do have one.
Yes.
We do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think most people are aware of who it is, a well-known person here in the Marion community. Do you think, just kind of fill us in on what you can as far as that goes.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who probably know who it is, but even with that being said, it's not something that we're allowed to discuss at the health department. Who it is or any specifics about the person. And so if the family wants to do that, that is certainly up to them, but it's not our place. So it was a man in his 60s. It was one of our earlier cases, and so this is kind of something that we have talked about before, that it can take several weeks for the virus to work its way through somebody and then ultimately become fatal. So we saw that play out in this situation. And I think that it's really, you know, obviously really unfortunate. And it makes me upset that it even had to happen, that we are in this situation, that we're in this pandemic situation, and that it's taking people's lives is, you know, really upsetting. In public health, we're about preventing deaths, and to not be able to prevent it is, you know, weighs very heavy on our minds at the health department.
Being that this is the first death reported in Marion, and of course it is absolutely unfortunate, and we send our condolences to his family, were there underlying conditions, these things that we hear that lead to people's death in this particular situation? Because a man in his 60s, is that the danger zone?
It is kind of the danger zone. And I'm not sure if he had underlying conditions. That would have been something that they discussed at the when he got to the hospital and with his doctors. So I don't have an exact, you know, whether he had diabetes or whether he had lung disease or perhaps was on, you know, had cancer in the past. All of those things, you know, are underlying conditions. So, but you don't have to have underlying conditions to end up in this situation. You're just at a greater risk of ending up in this situation than somebody else. But any of us could wind up, you know, with a fatal case of this virus.
Being that this has played out and this is the first death attributed to Marion, what do you think the fallout will be? Do you think at this point there'll still be a lot of panic, or now because we're more familiar with what this disease does and what it is, that it will be less panic than it would have been a few weeks ago?
I think less panic than there was a few weeks ago, but I still think it brings it all very close to home, and it makes it a lot more real for people. It's not just a number that you're seeing on Dr. Acton's screen. It's somebody from Marion who you possibly know. So I think that makes it all the more real, and I certainly feel a more level of seriousness when I think about that. So I hope that it does that for people that are kind of maybe on the fence or not taking it so seriously, that maybe this pushes them to see it, you know, for what it is, and then it can be a very deadly, very serious virus.
You know, Tracy, sometimes we talk about these things in broad terms, but why is this particular disease maybe different than pneumonia or the regular flu so much more harmful and possibly deadly?
I think, you know, every virus has its own sort of mutations that can make it deadly or not deadly. There are strains of coronavirus that are actually our common cold. Obviously, this is not one of those. But any time that a virus can attack the lungs so severely is how it becomes more deadly. So with the flu, when it attacks the lungs, and I'm not a doctor, so this is just stuff that I've kind of picked up, and a doctor may say, well, she's kind of right, but not really. So this is a lay terms explanation. But, you know, you will see the lungs fill with fluid, with liquid, and almost become like sponges. That's what we saw in H1N1. It looked like the lungs were sponges that you could just wring out the water. It looks more, when you look at the x-ray pictures of people with coronavirus, it looks more like they're crystals in there, not so much liquid. And so you hear a lot about people when they come out of it that they have scarring on their lungs. And a lot of people are not the same even after they come out of it because of that scarring that's on their lungs. So I just think, you know, all these different viruses can do their own thing, and some are more dangerous than others. And even with this one, some of us will get it and not realize we even have it, and others will, you know, it will attack their lungs, and that's when it becomes fatal.
You know, Tracy, one of the big questions everybody's having nationally, statewide, and it will happen here locally, is how quickly do we open back up completely? How quickly does this economy get moving for us? With what you're hearing nationally, what you're hearing from Governor DeWine, and just what you're hearing here locally, does May 1st seem logical? Does it seem, where are we on that right now?
I wish I knew more about that. They keep talking on their press conferences from the governor that they're working on a plan. They haven't shared that with us here at the local level at all. So it's hard to know exactly what's going to be in there. My guess would be that they will start doing a little bit of more opening of businesses that maybe were deemed non-essential, and see how that goes. So I'm going to guess they're going to do like 2-week increments. So open a little bit up for 2 weeks, see if it causes a spike somewhere or what happens. And if it's okay, then go on to the next thing for 2 weeks and the next thing after that. So I think it'll start probably with businesses. I think it'll be a long time before we have more of the mass gathering, big group events, you know, fairs and festivals and sporting events and things like that. I think that will kind of be last.
Mm. And Tracy, one final question for you today, because we had this caller call in yesterday. As far as essential businesses go in Marion right now, how is that being monitored? And if somebody believes a business is not essential and does not fall under the governor's order, what should they do?
They can call us at the health department. So our number is 740-387-6520. Our environmental health sanitarians are taking those complaints and then doing an investigation. So they will call the business, see why they think they should be open, and if it falls under something that's essential. And then if it meets that definition and they're satisfied with it, they'll close the case. If it doesn't, that's when we go towards, you know, telling them they need to shut down. If they refuse to, then we issue an order for them to shut down. And we really haven't had to get to that level. Most people, you know, are trying to do what they're supposed to do. But, yeah, just give us a call at the health department, and we will start an investigation.
Tracy, thank you for being so available through this entire time, and hopefully we can continue on with this and getting the information out to the audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner, and we are aware of who the death was yesterday, and we're not going to say it because the family has not announced it publicly yet. So in deference to them, we send our condolences to that family, and when they announce it, we'll announce it. But this is one time, it's not important to be first in the news business. We'll wait for the family, and our condolences to that person's family. We'll be back for another hour right after this.
As you can see in my new book called How We Made the Republican Party Pro-Life, and I follow that very closely. And while I was not on the platform committee, my people, they were well trained.